Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to City on a Hill. I'm Dawn Wildman from California, and I'm filling in for Diana Cruz, who is out with a little bit of an illness. I'm thrilled today to have Zeb Porat on the call with us, on the show with us, so he can talk to you about his mission in life and what he does through Messiah of Israel. How are you today, Zeb?
Well, shalom, Don. It's a pleasure today. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's another beautiful day in California, and always grateful to wake up on this side of the dirt, so it's a good day. You know, most people that have been listening have also heard a lot from Christina Mikus, who is my gal pal out this way in California, who does just such a massive, fabulous warrior job with us over at Cure. And, you know, just really has been really a lightning rod for a lot of change. She's the person who introduced me to Zeb, as a matter of fact, and what he does. So how are you today, Christina?
Good, honey. I wasn't sure if you knew I was here or not.
Yes, I did. I'm trying to communicate with Diana through text, and you know, it takes a lot of technology to make this look like it's really easy.
I know. She's texting me too, so I thought, what in the heck? All right. So while
I was so thrilled when Diana said, you know, hey, will you come on with Christina and Zeb? I thought, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What Zeb is doing is, talk about somebody who really is walking in God's path, Zeb. I pray for you every day, not just that, you know, your good deeds are noticed and your work is, you know, makes you feel like you've accomplished something, but your actual courage to do what you're doing, especially at a time, and I want to ask you to explain to everybody what it is you're doing, but especially at a time when, once again, this morning I hear on the news about the Coptic Christians that are being killed in Egypt. So to be a Christian in Europe and in the Middle East is not done with the ease that it might be elsewhere. I wish more American Christians actually could feel what these people must feel to really be kind of on the enemies list. So
persecution, it's called persecution.
Oh, yeah.
Persecuted, and we don't even have a clue, and yet we're so apathetic about our Christianity here.
Well, that's just it. I think that, you know, we read about it in the Bible, about persecution, we watch movies about it, we talk about it, but, you know, generally, and I think we definitely are persecuted, but not to the extent that we see, especially in the Middle East. It is just so, it is always so shocking to me, 2013, where this is still going on. But Zeb, could you explain to the listeners who maybe, you know, haven't heard you come on before, What it is exactly that you do with Messiah of Israel, and what kind of your mission is?
Well, first of all, you know, you mentioned that you know, what I do in Israel is, you know, has to do with courage. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. You know, I couldn't do anything without the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Actually, I'm a small man with a big guy, and you know, a lot of people praying for me, and Christina and other believers are praying for me, and that's really what keeps us going. Because if it's up to Zeb, to me, I can't do it with the Holy Spirit. And what we're doing here in Israel, we're our ministry that God gave me is a Messiah of Israel Ministries.org, and of course it's a ministry that reaches the land of Israel with the good news of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, and of course the nations as well. We share the good news of Jesus, Yeshua, with all people, not just the Jewish people, also the Arabs and people from all nations and all over the world. And, you know, the Bible is, blessed are those who are persecuted for Yeshua's name. So we view persecution as a blessing, because we know that if we're out there and we're witnessing and sharing the love of Yeshua, we will be executed, because the enemy doesn't like what we're doing. And, you know, this is what it's all about. The day that persecution stops is the day Yeshua comes back.
You know, I really do wonder, in complete sincerity, if I could be truly as courageous as you are. Because even I think with this gift from God and this feeling that your mission is definitely driven by the Holy Spirit, there is still that human instinct, I think, for most of us to sort of preserve our life. And I'm not sure really Americans understand what the environment is like in Israel. I think we always assume that every person who lives in Israel and is pro-Israel is a practicing Jew or is a Christian, and that it's, you know, everybody's sort of very accepting of each other. Could you explain to people really what the environment is like amongst the masses? Because that's who you go out to reach. You don't go to, you know, just to synagogues or churches. You're out talking to real people in their real everyday lives. So could you tell the audience a little bit about what happens when you approach somebody?
Well, first of all, you know, when someone says in Israel, I'm a Christian, or you know, he's not really going to get persecuted in Israel for being a Christian, because you know, here in Israel, you know, it's you know, Jerusalem, everything is a place where all the religions come together, and it's, you know, everybody accepts each other. The problem begins when a Jew believes in Jesus, when a Jew believes in Yeshua. And that's where the persecution comes. So, you know, we see tourists coming to Israel. They're not being persecuted because you know, they're being welcomed here in Israel because they're coming to Israel to visit, and people know they believe in Jesus. That's not the problem. Is not the Christians coming to Israel. It's Jewish people, especially Israeli people like myself, that accept the true Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah. This is where the persecution begins, because no matter what you believe, they'll accept somebody being gay here. They'll accept using drugs. Almost everything is accepted here in Israel, believe it or not. except for someone who says that he believes in Jesus, Yeshua, this set of people get very upset at you, very hostile towards you, and that's the big difficulty in Israel. But having said that, as we see, as we're in the end days right now, we see how sin is escalating to a different level. You know, I mean, 15 or 20 years ago, there's no way we would have gay parades here in Israel, and, you know, the city hall in Tel Aviv and closing down the roads and allowing this to happen, and marijuana parades and basically having everything over here. And, you know, every child, almost every child is being tattooed now. It's very popular. And we're seeing something that we haven't seen in Israel in the last decade. And I believe that, you know, just like a sin is escalating to a different level, we also see that the gospel is getting out more, because although we are being persecuted, although people are against Jews who believe in Yeshua, there are still a number of people who are turning to these ovens or other aspects in life because they're not finding fulfillment. There's something missing in their heart, and they're trying everything. And this is when we have an opportunity to share the love of God, the love of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we have many interesting conversations. And a lot of people are coming to faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. So, again, I mean, the Bible says God makes everything new, and he turns bad things into good things. So, yes, there are bad things going on, but on the other side, the gospel is getting out.
We noticed that here, too, as well, Deb. You know, the perversion, the sin is increasing at an exponential rate here in the United States. And but there are people that are turning because they feel something is wrong. You know, this project I'm working on, and it's interesting, as you reach to these pastors, it said they've had this burden on their heart. They had the burden on their heart. They just didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. So they're just, you know, excited that there's somebody out here, you know, doing something and starting to bring them together. But we just had a thing here in California yesterday, Zev, that you'll appreciate this, that now our governor signed a law that allows whatever. If you decide, wake up today and you decide you feel like a girl, then, and you're a boy, you can go into the girls' locker rooms, you can go into the girls' bathrooms, you can do whatever you want. In other words, whatever your gender, you identify your gender identity, then there's no restrictions anymore. So there's no boys' bathroom, girls' bathroom. There's no girls' locker room, boys' locker room. It depends on what you think. And they're starting with kids in kindergarten to define their gender. They're asking kindergarten children to define their gender. What does a kindergarten child know about their gender other than their parts? So this is what happened here in California. You talk about sin and perversion taking over this state is become the progressive, as Don calls it, petri dish for the experimentation of full blown progressive policies, and that's what they're turning California into. So you talk about perversion, but on the flip side, I see God moving in a very powerful way in this darkness. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, what you're talking about is pure blasphemy in the name of God. It's you know, it's in the Bible exactly what it is, and it's the work of the enemy. And this is something that we need to pray about. Pray, not just go out there and speak to people. We need a lot of prayer, power in prayer. And as I mentioned before, Christina. We are praying about all this situation that's going on also in the United States here in Israel. We're going every 10 days at least to the to Jerusalem and praying over there also as well. So, I mean, I encourage anybody who's listening to this radio broadcast to join us in prayer for this dark age, as I call it. Because, you know, no matter what, we have victory in Yeshua HaMashiach, and we have power. And we are called to unite and pray together against all this in the name of Yeshua.
That's exactly right. And, you know, there is so much power in prayer if people would, you know, just understand that, as Dr. Stanley always says, you know, all battles are won on your knees. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Without prayer, we can't do anything. You don't move God, you don't move anything. You must get into prayer and get tight with the Lord. You know, just share and talk to the Lord, and He will reveal and guide you. But it's all about prayer, and we need to be lifting all of this up in prayer. Because, and the children, especially the children, because they're the victims of all of this perversion. And that's
what's so sad.
You know, our children here that are being tattooed like crazy. I mean, every time I turn around, the piercings, the tattooings, the this, it's just, you wonder, you know, what is next? I mean, what kind of perversion? We're doing a study into children's books. And it's astounding the perversion that's going on in children's books that they're putting in the libraries for children. They're removing God and putting every perverted thing in there they can possibly think of. So it's we've got a lot of praying to do in this nation as well and in Israel, because we're under severe attack from the enemy, and we know it. We see what's happening with Israel on the political end. You know, we know that Israel is being threatened, coerced into talks with the Palestinians, because they're being threatened that they will be isolated if they don't come up with a peace treaty. The EU is threatening Israel. This is, well, it's Bible prophecy, we know, as all these nations line up against Israel. It shows where we are in time, but nonetheless, you know, we need to be about in prayer for all of this that's going on, and to constantly be lifting up Israel.
Absolutely.
Amen, amen. You know, and Don mentioned before about persecution. You know, Don, the persecution is not just when you go out and you witness that somebody attacks, some kind of persecution, but what Christina is actually speaking about here, what's going on in America and around the world with this perversion, that's also persecution. That's persecution against God's people. That's persecution against the Bible. That's persecution against God. And, you know, when I'm hearing all this, thing that pops in my mind is the Lord just gave me a scripture, and that's Isaiah 66:5. And it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at the word. Your own people will hate you and exclude you because of my name.
Mm-hmm.
Have I said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, yet they will be put to shame." And that's when a person receives, you know, the Holy Spirit, they're going to get a wake-up call. They're going to see it. They're going to be put to shame for what they have done, because this is a persecution against the Word of God.
It absolutely is. You said it earlier, that it's blasphemy. All of this is blasphemy against God. And they will be accountable, but in the meantime, you know, they're wreaking havoc on our nations and our children, on our people, and on the Christians. You know, like I said before, people in this country that don't even understand what it is to be really, truly persecuted for your faith and to be able to have that strength in to stand no matter what. You know, you were mentioning, you heard something about, you know, and you felt led to pray for this pastor or this person in Israel that was, in North Korea. And we've got that pastor in Iran that is still in jail, as far as I know, for passing out Bibles. And look at the strength that man has to stand on his faith no matter what. I mean, he's being tortured and brutalized in the name of Yeshua. But he's standing. And his only crime was that he gave out Bibles in Iran. So we don't know what it is here in this country, you know, to be truly persecuted. Yes, Christians aren't popular here anymore, but we're not being tortured or imprisoned or, you know, God forbid we hand out a Bible, you know, or we talk to someone about the Lord. We're not being thrown in jail and beaten. But people are, for their faith, and they're standing. As Don was saying, can I be that courageous? I don't know. I would like to think so, you know, but Christians are coming under tremendous persecution in areas, and those are the ones we need to be lifting up as well, all over this world, whether it's in Iran, North Korea, the Middle East, Egypt, you know, there are Christians everywhere, And they're being murdered and slaughtered, you know, because of their belief in Yeshua.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it is, of all the things you think, you know, growing up in this country that you thought you'd have to worry about, this was not one of them. And the slide into the pervasive evil and darkness is just quicker and quicker every day. And, you know, I think we become very apathetic in this country because we don't live close to those things that we see that terrify us, such as the Middle East. I had said to somebody not too long ago about, I don't know, we were talking about some terrorist act and, you know, children being harmed, and I was talking to a mom about it, and couldn't even imagine that happening in this country. And I said, well, could you imagine growing up like those in Israel? With that being your everyday experience, with the idea that, you know, even from the inside, things can be unstable, but to actually live in terror every day that your kids will or won't make it home, your husband will or won't make it back from work, that you may not come back from, you know, the grocery store. And I think we don't realize that, how absolutely chaotic it is right now in the Middle East. And we don't hear a lot from our leaders in this country. We don't hear a lot. We're not having anybody stand up with great courage in this country as a leader and say, enough is enough, which makes it even more volatile. So Zev, when you're out talking to folks, especially in some of the areas you go, because you know, the Lord seems to lead you, you know, into places that, you know, for most folks, you would say, okay, that doesn't seem like a good idea to go there, but you do. How do most Jews that you come across, what is their reception of you when you try to talk to them about the Messiah?
Well, first of all, you know, I mean, Usually, again, depends on how I'm guided by God, but usually I don't go walk up to someone and say, you know, is this Yeshua as the Messiah? Because most Jewish people will automatically reject that before they even look at the Bible. What I usually do is I try to witness using the Old Testament, bring them to understand the verses and the prophecies and actually speaking about the Messiah. After they acknowledge that the verses are speaking about the Messiah, then we search who that Messiah is, which is of course Jesus, Yeshua, born in Bethlehem and from Nazareth. But many times before I have the opportunity to tell someone that Yeshua is the Messiah, after the Holy Spirit's working on them, they would ask me, who is this Messiah? Tell me who it is. And then I have an opportunity to tell them Yeshua. And that's been happening a lot lately, a lot more than it's been happening in past years. And people are actually saying, you know, please tell me who this Messiah is. And you know it's the work of the Holy Spirit when that happens. And yesterday we sent out we uploaded a video to YouTube about an Orthodox man named Israel, who in a previous outreach that we met him in Tel Aviv, was very hungry for the truth, and I've been with him, and he's already accepted that Yeshua is Messiah, but he hasn't accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not a believer yet, but he has the knowledge that Yeshua is Messiah. So I would encourage you to go to our website. It's messiahofisraelministries.org, and the archive page over there, and click on that video and watch Israel and pray for him, because this is again what's happening here in Israel, that people see what's going on in the news, and you mentioned terrorist acts and everything that's happening here in Israel, and they see the abomination, And people are lost. People are searching for something. When you approach them with the love of God, they'll listen to you. You know, love conquers everything.
I was also curious because I'm curious as to the reception that you must get from rabbis. Because, you know, for us, even what we do and we have done in the Tea Party, even the Republican Party, which is supposed to be, or at least we used to think, was actually made up of people like us, you know, the authority that comes with them are not real thrilled with us. So I imagine rabbis are probably not real thrilled with you.
Well, you know, I mean, there is an anti-missionary organization in Israel that's called Yad Lachim, which is basically Jews for Judaism, and you know, their main advertisement all over Israel is, you know, we're not leaving any Jews behind. So they view us as a danger to Judaism, as a danger to humanity, and so obviously they don't like us. And, you know, I've been told by them many, many times, you know, we'll speak to you in our office for hours because, you know, we want you in the office. We don't want you on the street. So, I mean, in a way, they're scared of us, not us. They're scared of Yeshua. They're scared of the Messiah. So, you know, what I've seen, you know, they will persecute you. They have used violence before against me. But, you know, when you stand firm for the Word of God, you know what, they'll just flee away. It's just like another fly in your ear. That's all they are, you know, they're like little flies in your ear, and they'll just flee away because they can't stop the gospel. Nobody can, you know. And, again, Matthew 10 says, you know, 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness for the kingdom of heaven. And you know what, and no rabbi or no tool of Satan can stop that. But to answer your question, yes, they're not too happy with us. But having said that, a lot of rabbis have been coming to faith as well.
I see such great correlation between what you do, Zev, and the project that Christina and Diana and Ruth have been working on through CURE, the Operation Jericho. I know you see the correlation too, Christina, but, you know, you were the first person who sort of introduced me to Zev and what he was doing. And what was it about what Zev was doing that sort of struck you as, okay, this is, we have to get out word about, you know, Zev and his wife Lynn and what they're doing and all that. What sort of put you on the radar to say, okay, this is something we need to support?
The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. In a nutshell, it was the Spirit. The minute we found Zev and Lynn, it was, we knew in our spirit that this was a connection that we were to make. And my sister-in-law, Christy, was originally reached out to him. She was called me. We talked about it. She reached out to Zev. Zev answered and responded, and the rest is sort of history. We now they're part of my brother's ministry, Messengers of Messiah, and they're definitely part of my life, a big part of my life. So it was all the Lord, and it was all the Spirit that brought us together at the time for such as this, and at the time, God's timing. It's incredible. We were looking for them. And it was our spirit that was causing us to look for them, to look for something in Israel. We knew it was going to come in 2012, and we knew it was going to come around Passover, Pentecost time. We knew that. We didn't know what, but we knew something powerful was going to come at that time last year. And that was Zev and Lynn and Eliyahu. Eliyahu was part of that. That's when we first saw the video of Zev and Eliyahu, who is a rabbi, a student of Rabbi Kaduri over in Israel. And Rabbi Kaduri, I'll let Zev tell you about Rabbi Kaduri, but Eliyahu was a student of Rabbi Kaduri and became a believer in Messiah Yeshua. So here again, it's just all part of the picture. And so that's how God brought us to Zev. And he has made him our family now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and Zeb, I don't know if you want to share anything about Eliyahu and Rabbi Kaduri and all of that, but it was an amazing experience. We were looking, and as soon as we saw the email, we knew it was that this is what we were looking for. And it was all the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, let me tell you, Zeb, first of all, because I'd love to hear about that, but I wanted to make sure I told you how much I appreciate and love the fact that, you know, we all do Bible study on Sunday together. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact, I thought about this last Sunday, too. I love the fact that you know, you bring this experience that, well, at least for me, I don't have it. You know, I wasn't Jewish. I've always been a Christian. And coming from Israel, you bring in this, it's a little bit like coordination of the old and the new. You know, it's okay, and you will say sometimes, okay, in the Jewish faith this means such and such, or in Hebrew this means such and such. And that brings such a wide opening to me for better understanding of the word. I thought of this last Sunday. I wondered if, do you find that Christians are far more accepting of, you know, their Hebraic roots than maybe Jews are of Christian roots?
Well, it's a very interesting, good question. I can't speak for everyone, but I first of all, unfortunately, most of the Jewish people that are not believers in Israel, of course, are locked in religion. They're locked in rabbinic tradition. They're locked in believing that the you know, they can't read the Bible without a rabbi's interpretation. So they have no idea what the real Hebraic roots are. But, you know, I mean, when an Orthodox Jew or somebody who's really rooted in Judaism comes to faith in Yeshua, he has the missing part of the puzzle, which is the salvation part. And then he takes all that he learned in, you know, as far as in the Torah and with the rabbis, and he somehow connects that with the New Testament and what Yeshua spoke about, where I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law, and he understands what that means, and going through the Hebraic roots, that's when you become a completed Jew. So, I mean, it's amazing to see Jewish people come to faith. Even this man that I'm speaking about, Israel, who's not a believer yet, but he's on the way, the speed of his progress and understanding the scriptures is amazing, because this is someone that's been under the teachings of the Sanhedrin for a decade, and you know, now he's seeing exactly what Yeshua spoke about. So I mean, it's just amazing when a Jew comes to faith. As far as the Christians, I can't speak for all Christians, but from what I'm seeing and hearing, and you know, I don't hear and see everything, but I'm seeing a lot of Christians who are not understanding the Hebraic roots, and a lot of people don't understand that what Yeshua, what Jesus meant when he said, "I did not come to up the Torah, but to fulfill it." So I'm praying that more and more Christians would come and understand that the New Testament and the Old Testament are one book. They come together. One cannot go without the other, and one cannot be instead of the other. And, you know, when I hear all these things like replacement theology and all these things that man made, it's not from the Bible, it's not from the Word of God, it's not, you know, God does not, you know, God didn't make denominations, man did.
You know, I can speak from my experience as I try to share the Hebraic roots with people, which I've been doing for years. It's very difficult to get them to receive the Hebraic roots, because they're so locked into their teachings, whatever they've gotten. I have many people say, well, we don't mess with the Old Testament because we're a New Testament church. Well, I don't know how you separate the two, because they're not a testament in the first place, they're covenants. And it's just a continuum. But many, many people don't understand that we need to understand the Hebraic roots of the Bible in order to fully comprehend and understand all that the Lord is trying to show us and tell us. And as I share them with people, they'll say, well, I don't know about that, or because I'll say to them, you know, we need to understand because the Bible was written to Jews by Jews for Jews. And in order to truly understand, you need to understand their customs, their traditions, their history, everything, that because they, one word, they would understand one word that the Lord spoke that we might think is just a word, when in fact it was powerful with meaning for them. So this is the necessity for studying the Hebraic roots, to just get a fuller understanding of Messiah Yeshua and all that God is showing us through his word. It's not to change your philosophy or change your mind or change this. It's to give you a fuller understanding, which will in turn open your mind more. But it's very difficult. It's not an easy process to get people to understand or even want to listen to the Hebraic roots. It's a process, and that's my experience, which I have talked to many, believe me. So,
Well, amen.
I find that astonishing because, you know, for myself, it makes more sense. Know what I mean? I purposefully decided a few years ago that I'm going to read the New Testament, and I'm going to read it, every single word of it, not just study it because I'm sitting my butt in a pew every Sunday and my pastor's talking about it, but because I want to know what it, every single word that is said. And then went back to the Old Testament and started reading it, which from in my brain, in my head, everything made more sense. Everything... There is an absolute continuity to it. And I don't see how you could have one without the other. It is astonishing. When I found out, because I don't know that much about Judaism, and when I found out from Zeb that Jews aren't to be, you know, sort of off studying the word by themselves, they have to do it through rabbis because they clearly would not be able to understand it without the rabbinic authority showing them how to understand it. That floored me. As an American Christian, I thought, I can't imagine somebody being able to say, or me having the belief that I can't read my Bible without some pastor being there to, you know, define everything for me in his way of thinking. So it was...
Isn't that Catholicism? Isn't that Orthodoxy? Isn't that all of these organized religions? They listen to the priest or pastor, or whatever they want to call them, and that's it. Catholics have their own Bible. This one has their own. You know what I mean? So that's what they're doing. They're listening to them and not studying themselves approved as the Lord said.
Well, and, you know, I was actually raised as a child in the Catholic Church, and I never had sort of this affinity for the Catholic Church. I liked the, and I think this is what a lot of people like, and this is true of, I'm sure, Judaism, the rituals that go with it. There is some comfort in rituals for everybody. I think that's where you feel like you found your peace, your ritual, even if most people don't even understand what the ritual is or the purpose of it. They find great comfort. I know my grandmother did in her Roman Catholic faith. But by the age of 12, I knew it wasn't for me that, you know, I was, you know, a different breed than the rest of my family. But so it is so amazing that you guys brought each other together, that you guys came together. Because I can see how each of you... lean on each other, Christina and Zev and Lynn, and how you complement the work that each person is doing. And, you know, I know if I asked you, you would both say, yes, that's God. So I'm not even going to ask you why you think that's happening.
You know, God has given us a connection in the spirit that is incredible. And I'll say that much. God has connected us, like, in the spirit that is mind-boggling, huh, Zev?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm sitting over here and I'm dying to speak and say something, and you know, you're taking the words out of my mouth. But really, it's true. It's a connection from God, and I would say that we found each other through the Holy Spirit, as Christina was saying, and with her her brother Peter and Messengers of Messiah. I mean, Peter is someone that, you know, me as a Jew, I'm learning a lot from him. And here's he's someone that's really grounded in the Hebraic roots. And mentioning what Christina was talking about before, you know, the Bible was written to the Jews. But, you know, if a Jew does not accept Yeshua and does not accept the written word of God, then he's not going to enter the kingdom, whether he's a Jew or not. That's not what gets you in the kingdom. What gets you in the kingdom is the grace of God and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit, and accepting that Yeshua died on the tree for our sins, rose on the third day, and only by his full redemption of sins. It's not about being a Jew or being a Christian or being anything else. We're all one in Yeshua if we accept the gift of salvation and repent from our sins. And I love what Peter was speaking about. He's been speaking about it for the past month. You know, the Bible was written to the Jews. That's true. And Paul was a Jew. And Paul was on the Sanhedrin. He was one of these people that are persecuting us. They come from the root of the Sanhedrin. Nothing's changed in the past 2,000 years. And when Paul was prophesying, when Paul was teaching, when he was speaking to God, he was quoting the law of Moses. That's what he was doing. And, you know, and the Bible says, if you believe in Moses, you'll believe in the prophet. Out of you will come a prophet bigger and better. You should listen to him, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach. So everything comes from the Hebraic roots. And when I hear people that say, you know, I can't understand the Old Testament, I'm not Jewish, I can only understand the New Testament, you know, God... And this is something that I would like to share a little bit about the Hebraic roots. You know, in Genesis, it says, in the beginning was, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. When in Hebrew, it the first letter is Bet. Bereshit means Genesis, in the beginning. And the Bet is, if anybody's seen a Bible in Hebrew, it's big, it's enlarged. And Bet also means house. And, you know, God created the world because he wanted to dwell with man. He created us because we're, you know, to be together with us. Man fell in sin, that's something else, but that's the reason he created us. Now, God wants a relationship with us. God wants our whole heart. How can we have a relationship with God if we don't take in everything that he's given us, the Old Testament, he's given us the New Testament? We can't just take half of what he's given us. We have to take everything because God wants to dwell with us. God loves us. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. That bet is big. It's a house. God wants all of our heart. That's all he wants. He doesn't want our works. We can't do anything by our works to meet God's standard. It's all because he loves us first. So I can't understand how anybody can say, I can't, you know, study the Old Testament, just the New Testament, or vice versa, because God wants our heart, and he gave us the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he wants us to partake in that.
That's
it's interesting that you say that, Zev, because I actually, and I for myself, I believe that over time, I have, and I'm sure, and Christina would tell you this. This has a lot to do with God bringing me into Christina's life, and Christina into my life, and thereby Peter into my life, that I have a better understanding of the word. I feel more attached to it. But I find that the Old Testament to me is like the building of a family tree.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is when you're looking back and you're finding that foundation of your family. So it's interesting that the first word in Hebrew is house. Because that's the way it feels when I read it now. It's that this is what the foundation that my family led up to, and then the New Testament is, and this is what happened when the house was built, you know? And I think we lose so much if you don't, if you try to sort of take one without the other. It's like you're missing part of that picture. And I have noticed as I've gotten older in my life that I understand things much differently than I did when I was young. I think when we're young, we're very much that, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I, you know, did childish things. I think that is so true. And as we mature, it has a different feeling. I understand the relationships, even to the point that a lot of these, the problems we see today in each of our respective countries, these are not new problems. These are the same problems man has been fighting for over 2,000 years. And so I look at the Bible as sort of that manual for life. You know, okay, so how did it get resolved the last time we did this? And by the way, usually how it gets resolved is not really good for us. So, you know, people need to truly wake up. But do you find that maybe people that are older, because I wonder about the demographics of people who are more accepting, who are especially right now in this time period, are the younger people more accepting or more interested or curious about faith and Yeshua or the whole picture of the Hebraic roots? Or is it older people who maybe their life circumstances has changed and they see things differently? What is your feeling on that, Zeb?
Well, you know, I think that there's no statistics here. I mean, old people, young people, all ages are searching. But, you know, of course, the older people have more experience as far as what they've gone through in life. You know, so maybe you'll speak to someone and he says, you know, I was a religious Jew and it didn't work out. And then I tried Hare Krishna and then I tried being an atheist and that didn't work out. So you have, you know, life experience, so people have more, they've been through more, but then you also have the young people that have seen what the old generation has gone through, and they're seeing that they're not happy, so that's also a testimony to them. So, I mean, the truth is people are searching, even the people that tell you that they're, it's interesting here in Israel, we have somebody that says, you know, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, and then Friday night, he sits down with his family, and you know, he does the Jewish blessings. He takes out the challah, the bread, and the wine, and he blesses it. Yet he claims atheist, but he's doing the ceremonies that were given to the Jewish people, which that always amazes me.
Yeah, that is kind of strange because you're actually doing what God set forth, and they don't, and they're, yet they're calling themselves an atheist and not to believe in God, but they're doing the ritual.
I was just going to say, but that goes back to this idea that people like rituals. I think it is one of the things that have kept some people, their fannies in certain pews of certain churches. A, they don't really know what the doctrine, what the Bible says, so they're taking it on quote-unquote faith. And, you know, the other thing is the rituals that are involved give people great comfort, even if you don't understand what they mean, or in those cases, you don't even believe in what they mean. So...
You know, John, you were talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, I mean, you know, you couldn't comprehend because the old is like a house. You know, it tells you how the house was built and all this kind of stuff. It gives you your foundation. But the Old Covenant also gives you what's going to happen to the house in the future. So the Old Covenant is full of the prophetic, all the prophets. So you cannot separate the Old Covenant from the New Covenant and take the prophets away, because you're taking away all of what is being told to you by God of what is going to happen to the house in the future.
Absolutely. Well, that, and I love the fact that there are so many lessons that I can't think of one subject that any of us faces as a challenge in our life that you can't go to the Bible and find somebody who faced the exact same challenge and find solution for it. We don't always listen to that. We don't always follow that. I'm a huge person to hold my hand up to that one. But, you know, it's the manual to teach us, you know, I think, you know, of how to do this and do it with grace. And, The biggest surprise, I think, to me in really going back and starting at the beginning and starting at Genesis and really reading the Word was how many of the same problems we have today we had over 2,000 years ago. And at first I was so discouraged by that because I thought, man, talk about keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. But I think with it comes this idea of redemption, too, that, you know, God's mercy, you know, was filled with redemption for people. But also, there were consequences to your actions. And it's one of those things where I keep thinking, you know, this is exactly what has been wrong with the United States when we took Christianity out of everything, including our schools. I mean, this is exactly, people don't have that moral compass anymore. And I think that's true no matter where you live. Do you find the same thing to be true in Israel? Zev, you said there's, you know, all this absolute new, greater, bigger sinning going on. You know, I think it's because people have lost a moral compass. What is your experience?
Well, absolutely, I agree with you, you know, and just mentioning courage and everything, you know, what Christina is doing in the United States with this Common Core and fighting this this abomination, that takes courage, and, you know, and God did put us together because we are doing the same thing. I mean, each one is fighting a different battle, but it's the same war, you know?
Exactly.
And it's a different battle and the same war, and really I appreciate what she's doing, and you know, and we're speaking about the Common Core here in Israel as well because people need to know what's going on. And, you know, it's kind of like a wake-up call sometimes because when we tell people what's going on, they say, really, that's terrible. And I say, and the gay parade is not terrible. And kids tattooing each other is not terrible. I mean, that's just another step. And sometimes people just listen and they say, oh, you know, they start stuttering and it's like a wake-up call. You know, sometimes people have to be told over and over again something until they realize that what they're doing is of course an abomination, but it's also something that you know, they're raising their kids in a terrible way, you know, and I think that what Christina is doing in the United States and you know, us sharing it here in Israel is all, in a way, what's doing in the United States is evangelizing here in Israel. That's all I can say.
Did you tell people, Christina, what your project has been like for you? Because when you started this project and were telling me about this idea, not only did I love the idea, but I also, there was a part of me that said, you know, this is not going to go well. Because we were really going to be sitting in the position where pastors had to make a choice of, are you going to speak to the doctrine? Are you going to shepherd these people? Are you going to be filled with God's presence? Or are you going to be filled with your 501c3 and man's law? So what has your experience been so far? Because I know you've been so excited.
Well, God is really working in this particular Operation Jericho movement. But I want to, before I go into Operation Jericho, I want to back up to one thing you said, Don, about the Bible and God's Word. That there's nothing that goes on or nothing that is happening in your life that you can't go to the Word and God won't give you an answer to that question. Yesterday I was asking the Lord, why is everybody so blind? Why is everybody so blind? Why do they not see, God, what is being, you know, said to them and shown them? And they just seem to stay blind. And the Lord gave me, and I opened my Bible, and I was reading something, and the Lord said, go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. So I went to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and as I'm reading, it says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come to pass unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Well, we see the apostasy in the churches in our country. It's happening at breakneck speed here. And it goes on to say, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? As you know, what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Well, we know that. We see it here in our country. We see it all over the world. We see it in Israel. The lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is us. We are the ones that are restraining. We're standing in the gap. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs of false wonders. And with all that this is the answer to my question, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. In other words, they hardened their hearts. They did not receive the truth, the love of the truth of Messiah. So they are not saved. This is the answer. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. So,
wow,
isn't that heavy?
Wow.
So we ask that question, why are these people so blind? Why can't we reach them? Why can't we do this? This tells us why. Because God has given them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, because they rejected Messiah Yeshua and they are not saved.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yes, that was very powerful to me yesterday. I read that and I just went, wow, Lord, thank you. Because it answers so much. It tells you we are the ones standing in the gap. We are the ones restraining now until his return. The lawlessness is already in full force. It says that. And it tells us why everybody is blinded. And I don't know, Dawn, if you remember after the election when I said to you, there's going to be a darkness that comes over America that is going to allow people to stay blind. Do you remember me sharing that with you?
Absolutely.
Well, here it is in 2 Thessalonians, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So this is it, pretty incredible. And this kind of goes to then what I'm doing with Operation Jericho. And we've had only one pastor so far that has reacted in a very negative manner. Everyone else is, as I said, when I speak to them, it's like, well, I had this burden. I just don't know. I didn't know what to do with it. It seemed so big. It seemed so, you know, out of reach. And so they're ever so grateful to meet me, that there's somebody finally coming along to bring everybody together.
That's
so fantastic. Yeah, this is what I'm finding so far. And, you know, and everything that about this project, as Zev knows too, is this is all God-led. I do nothing of myself. If God doesn't sanction it, I won't do it. And some of this does take great courage, because sometimes I come under a little bit of attack for what I'm doing.
And
you know, support and things like that, because people don't quite understand yet what God is doing. And when God says you fight a battle my way, not the world's way, it is different. And I had to learn too that I'm not to fight this the way I know how to fight. I'm to sit back and let God lead the way, the pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night. That is to be my guide. And so I have to sit back and allow God to do this, because this is his battle, not mine. I'm only the vessel and the messenger. And for those that reject, the Lord gave me words for them. Woe to them that harden their hearts against my plea. And he says, you work with those that are willing, and those that aren't, you shake out your garments, as it says in Acts, and you move on. So that's the essence of what I'm doing. I don't feel rejected. I feel bad for the pastor, because I know God's word says woe to them. And they're lost. But they also, according to 2 Thessalonians, have been allowed to have that deluding influence, haven't they? Because they've compromised themselves. They've given over to the world. So it's a very interesting how all this is coming together. And again, it just as God led me to Zev and brought him into my life as my brother, it is now I'm doing this, and God is bringing some amazing people to me, just amazing people to work on this project. So it's all His. I do nothing but sit in my office and work, and God brings everything to me, what He wants.
And wow.
It's an awesome, humbling experience because I realize I am nothing but a vessel, a messenger, and it is all Him that is doing the work.
Well,
so
I see so much in what you both are doing, and, you know, just how, because I know the both of you come under attack, and sometimes even from your own, and or at least who we think are our own.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it really does take courage. I think the thing that I find so inspiring about both of you is that, and this is what we don't see a lot in leadership, is that neither one of you have this personal sort of stake in it. Like you said, you don't take things, you're not offended when somebody doesn't jump on board or whatever, because you know this is God.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't you trying to boost your ego. This isn't you trying to position yourself with authority over something. This is you being the messenger. And so for the both of you, that's what is inspiring to me, is that I see that the both of you do this with no regard for yourself, your comfort, your safety. You're just being led by how the Spirit leads you. And there are not a lot of people today that are doing that. So, you know, I thank both of you because that takes great courage. It really does. I know you guys don't think so, but it does. Based on what we see around us, it totally does. Looks like we're coming to the close of the show now. So I would love, Christina, if you would lead us in our closing prayer. And any last words that Zev or you want to say, please give out the website again for Messiahs of Israel so people can look up Zev. But I'd love for you guys to you know, have some closing thoughts and then lead us in prayer.
Zev, you go ahead with your closing words or thoughts, whatever you have, and then I would like for you, Zev, to please lead us in prayer.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to say that, you know, the courage that we have is not from us, it's from the Lord. We're just tools, as Christina was mentioning. You know, Deuteronomy 31:6, you know, proclaims that, where it says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Don't be afraid of them. Them being the world, being the enemy. For the Lord, my God, He is the strength. He will not fail me, nor forsake me. And this is, you know, we put our trust in the Bible, in the Word of God, and that's it. It's not about us. It's all about us. And I want to really encourage anyone that's listening that, you know, don't be politically correct. Be biblically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the God with you. Yeah, just be grounded in the Word of God and fear not the world. And you know what? The ones the Bible says narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate. You know, and I don't think that anybody wants to perish. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And it's a lack of knowledge of the people not understanding what the Bible says, not believing in the Word enough, that leads them leads them astray. So just encourage you to be in the Word, and the Word will never forsake you.
As amen.
And
the
I would really be
in the Word in prayer. Yeah, that's the whole key. In the Word, in prayer. In the Word, in prayer.
And I really feel in the Spirit, really, that maybe it'd be a blessing if you would end in prayer right now. I feel God has something to say through you.
Through me?
Yes, if you would please.
Okay. Lord, we just come together. We just thank you so much for the blessing of this show today and how you have, the Spirit has guided us into what people need to hear. Lord, you know we don't. As I said, we're only your messengers. And Lord, we just thank you that the Spirit guided all that we had to say today, and we thank you that it ministers to those that are listening. and Lord will give them a new awakening in their spirits, Lord, to seek you and to get on their knees before you, Lord, seek you and find out what is your will for their lives, Lord. And Lord, we just lift up the pastors, that Lord, as we reach out to them, that the Spirit will soften their hearts, Lord, and they will receive rather than being lost. We don't wish them to be lost, Lord. You don't will them to be lost. And Lord, we just thank you that they will receive. They will be convicted in the Spirit to the very depths of their souls and realize that this is the time, and we were all called for a time such as this. Lord, I just lift up Zev and Lynn in Israel and their ministry, Messiah of Israel Ministries. Lord, they're doing such a mighty work for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I just lift up Israel. As he seeks you, Lord, I just pray that the Spirit just come over him and cover him in a way he's never felt in his life, Lord. Let him know that there is none other but you, and he is only to listen to you and not to the Sanhedrin. Lord, we just thank you that you will minister to Israel as he has never been ministered to before, that the Spirit will just engulf him. And all those, Lord, that Dev and Lynn reach out to in their ministry, Lord, we just thank you that they will be touched and reached for the salvation of Israel, Lord. Time is short. We know it is. And we know that you're accelerating everything for the good, even though there's so much darkness going around, Lord. Your hand in everything is so powerful. We see it every day, Lord, and we just thank you that everything seems to be on fast forward and people are receiving and learning and doing so much more, and they're realizing the urgency of your call. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that there's a mighty move of the Spirit so that we can draw all back unto you, Lord, prior to Yeshua's return. There are so many that need to be returned home to you, Lord, that are out there and they're straying, they're lost. And Lord, they know you, but they've lost touch with you. And Lord, our job is to try to help them through the Spirit, Lord, to bring them back into the fold before it's too late. Lord, we need to bring a God consciousness back into this nation, back into Israel. Lord, we just stand against all the darkness. We know we are the ones restraining, and we know we have a mighty job to do for you, Lord, so we just thank you. Each and every day that you guide our steps, we thank you for your wisdom, your discernment, for the Spirit, Lord, that guides us in all things. And Lord, we just thank you for the power of prayer, because we know that, Lord, through prayer, all things are possible with you, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for the blessing of being able to share this time with many people that are listening, Lord. And City on the Hill, the blessing that you gave us of this radio show to be able to share the time. We thank you for your hand of blessings upon the show, upon Don, upon Zev and Lynn. And Lord, as we go forth into this day and each day in your name and to your glory, we pray and we thank you. In your precious name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to also give a blessing and, you know, a healing prayer for Dana right now, that she's, you mentioned she wasn't feeling good. So we're proclaiming supernatural healing in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for her.
Amen.
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 And thank you, Don. It was a blessing, and Christina, to hear you both, what you're doing. And City on the Hill is a blessing worldwide, and well, some listeners here in Israel as well. They're being blessed by the radio broadcast, and we know that it's the hand of God. And shalom from Israel.
Thank you so much, Zev, for being on, and Christina. I hope people will share this podcast with their friends and family and continue to listen to City on a Hill. And you all have a really blessed rest of your week and weekend. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, everybody.
Shalom.
Shalom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.